For our freedom. You know, in the Bible days, there was hundreds of thousands of Christians who were crucified and fed to lions so we could preach openly. And I was telling my friend Bill about that. So Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your blood is stronger than death. And as we were talking about last week when we were at the cry, there's one story in particular that stuck out to me. The story was the story of a guy who was born and raised in Detroit. And he got saved at the age of 21, and he had a younger brother. And his younger brother's last words were, "I'm not going to the church with you, I'm going to the barbecue." And so, it's okay. And so he wanted to go to this barbecue, and he went to church. And then he got this text on his phone, 911. And when he came to the barbecue, he discovered that his brother had been shot in the back of the head by his best friend. And he said, "At that moment, I just didn't believe in anything anymore. My mother was away, and I knew she wasn't saved, and she had guns in her house, and I was literally trying to break down the door of my mother's house to get at the guns so I could shoot this guy." This was the story. And he just felt like God, you know, was telling him to stop. And so he stopped, and he said he got into a big, deep depression, wouldn't come out of his basement. And he would still go to church. And about a month later, he got a call. The person who had shot his brother had just accepted the Lord and been filled with the Holy Spirit. And the pastor was asking him permission to bring him to their church. And they asked him how he felt. He said, "Well, I guess if God can forgive him, I can forgive him." And so, long story short, what ends up happening is the man ends up discipling the guy. And he gets off of his murder charge because his brother had a gun on him. And he gets filled and he disciples him and he gets his brother back. But his brother is the guy who actually shot his brother. And God, like, changed his heart so much. God even said to him, "Look, this man is even more your brother because he's in me." And that's how, like, the blood of Christ covers the blood of Alma Abel that cries out. And so that's what I got from the cry when I was there, or from the call when I was there. Because I was like, wow, the blood of Christ really does work. It really does, you know, cover up sins and restore people to one another. Because I was talking to my friend Bill, and Bill's an atheist, and he's angry, really angry, because he's had a lot of abuse in his life. And he hates the church because he says the church is abusers, just like his parents were abusers. So he hates anything to do with abuse, of course. And he's like, "What is this Christianity all about?" And I was like, "Peace with God and peace with yourself. And eventually you get peace with those around you." And that's really what it's all about, is that God gives you a peace that brings a joy that allows you to overcome this world. Does that make sense? And so we're going to talk about how we keep that peace and how we hold that peace, because that peace is our power that comes from Jesus, that allows us to smile through trials, that allows us to have the favor of God when everything else is going crazy all around us, that we can look up and just say, "Okay, Jesus, I trust you, and I'm going to keep walking forward even though I don't see the next step that's in front of me. Or even if the next step that's in front of me looks like a cliff, I'll just walk out, step out in faith on a limb to follow you. Because I really believe that the currency of heaven is faith. Because God can't do miraculous works if we don't step out in faith. Why? Because we won't give him a chance. Does that make sense? How can we trust God if we don't give him a chance to trust him? Something I tell myself all the time. Okay, God, if I don't give you a chance to trust you, then I can't trust you. And if I want to trust you more, then I better start trusting. Does that make sense? Okay, good. And so, we're going to talk about 1 Samuel 13. There's two people, I actually preached this in my cell once a long time ago, so Joseph probably remember it, but I don't think Sandra would probably remember it. You see, we want to have God's heart. We want to be a man after God's own heart, like King David was, if that makes sense. I want to be a man after God's own heart. See, there was a guy named Saul. He was made the king, and he was given revelation. He was given the Spirit of God. I mean, he was given a lot from God. But what he had from God, he squandered it. Because he wasn't willing to trust. Does that make sense? Well, yeah. So he was not willing to trust. What happened was there was a war, and God told him to go to this war. And so he was waiting for Samuel to come back and help him with this sacrifice, because the Philistines were gathered. And he got scared, and he didn't wait for the prophet, and he made the sacrifice himself. And when the prophet came, he said, God requires obedience and not sacrifice. I'm going to tell you the secret to sacrifice. You guys ready? Who wants to know the secret to sacrifice? Took me a long time to learn this. If you want to be a David and not a Saul, the secret to sacrifice is the best sacrifice is obedience. The best sacrifice is obedience. Does that make sense? The best sacrifice is obedience, because when you're obedient, it's a sacrifice to God through relationship. And it actually draws you closer to him. And so there's lots of times where in my own life where I'm like, oh, should I obey? Should I sacrifice? Should I do this? And I know that the best sacrifice is always obeying God. Because sometimes there's multiple choices of good you can do. You know, this weekend I really, really wanted just to stay here and pay some bills and take care of my kids. It's what I really wanted to do with my money and my time. Well, my wife's 7, 8 months pregnant, and my kids are young, and I work nights. And we got lots of bills, so. But I know, and it says in the Bible that, you know, taking care of your family first is important, and it is important. Don't think that I don't think that it is. But God spoke to me, and God spoke to Veronique, and we were like, okay, what do we do? And we thought, well, the best sacrifice is obedience. We got to obey God no matter what it costs. If we have to drive all night and sleep on a couch and have our backs hurt, we're doing it. And so, poor Sam, because we want to show that we trust God. And the best way to get him to trust God is to trust him. It's the only way we're going to get more faith, to believe for bigger and better things. It's the only way. Ha. Obedience will cause you to become a person who is after God's own heart. Because in Proverbs 3:5 it says, "Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways fear the Lord. In all your ways trust in God." Lean not on our own understanding. What does that mean? That means that if obedience becomes our sacrifice, then we have to seek God first before we do anything. We have to hear his voice. We have to be intimate with him. We have to ask him, "What would you like us to do, God?" Very important. Because if we don't lean on God, especially when we're in the desert places, then we'll find ourselves making sacrifices that aren't pleasing to the Lord. And that could get us in trouble. But as long as you're in him, everything's all right. See, Saul, he was the king. And he had all the gold, all the girls, all the glory. His enemies were underneath his feet, and he had no peace. No joy. It says that there was a tormenting spirit. He was in torment. King David, on the other hand, was in the desert being chased by the army of the king. Like, I don't know. Wandering around the Mojave Desert, or in Canadian terms, it would be like being out in Algonquin or somewhere in Alberta in the middle of the woods with the army chasing you, trying to catch you and kill you. But he had peace. And he wrote all these psalms about how the Lord is a shepherd and how, you know, his soul does not worry and how God is his joy. And there was no stress, to the point where God even put King Saul in situations where David could have killed him. And David's like, "No, I just trust God. I trust God to stay in this desert a little bit longer. And it's not so bad for me because you know what? God is with me." And something I used to say a lot, back in the old days in the cell, you guys remember? "I'd rather be in the desert place with God than be in the promised land with the devil." Because I know that when you're in the promised desert place with God, you're heading to the promised land. And when you're in the promised land with the devil, then you're heading, well, to Babylon, really. But that's through the desert, dragged by chains. There's no peace, no joy in there, the place of fear. Ha. So, obedience is definitely the best sacrifice. Because you see, without that, we just become religious. Because that's the difference between religion and relationship. Religion is always trying to make sacrifices in order to appease God for the bad things that we do. But relationship is all about asking God, "Where is the next step of faith that you want me to take so that I can overcome this giant or this mountain?" When you're in religion, you're driven by fear. Your heart becomes hard. you have depression, you have all these things that come with religion, oppression. But when you're in relationship, you have peace, joy, love. You know, you're King Saul, he had religion. And he had the kingdom of God, actually. He had his enemies underneath his feet, but he was full of fear, full of paranoia, tried to kill his own son. Threw a spear right at him. Chasing David through the wilderness. In torment. They say he couldn't sleep. King David, in the desert with his harp, singing songs unto God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. God being upon him and in him and surrounding him with peace and joy and favor. And David had favor with everybody who was around him. All his neighbors supplied him with food and they hid him from King Saul. Where would you rather be? In obedience, making obedience your sacrifice is the best way to go forward with God. And it's the best way to keep your joy and your peace no matter where you are in your walk. Does that make sense? I'm not going to try to say that too many times, but and even as we offer up obedience as a sacrifice, we'll find that our heart becomes more and more changed. We become softer. We become more sensitive to God's Spirit. We become more dependent upon Him. Huh? We can hear His voice and recognize it better. And God is actually training us for the promised land. Where, unfortunately for King Saul, the crazier he got, the further and further away he got from God's presence, the further and further he got away from the kingdom and his castle. And instead of chasing the Philistines, he was chasing a guy who was actually helping him defeat the Philistines. Isn't that crazy? David won many battles for Saul. It took lots of positions for him. And he probably would have taken more. But instead, because of the fact that he wasn't in the will of God, he was filled with fear and unbelief. And he turned from the very purpose that he was actually meant to do, which was chase Philistines. And he started chasing the guy who was helping him chase the Philistines. And you know what how that manifests inside our lives? I'll explain it to you. What happens is a lot of times when we're filled with fear and not faith, we start acting in ways, we move out of fear and we start acting in ways that are not in our own best interest because we're doing things against God. We're doing stuff that we know we shouldn't be doing, but we're doing it anyways because we feel like we don't have a choice. Then our hearts become harder and harder, and we get further and further away from the very purpose that we're supposed to be doing. Until we're so upside down that the judgment of the Lord actually comes down upon us in order to cause us to ask Him for the next step. Me, personally, if I have a choice between being in obedience and being in sacrifice, I choose obedience. Because how do you know where you are? It's pretty simple. When you're in sacrifice, you're always asking God to bless your plans. When you're in obedience, you're always blessing the plans of the Lord. Yes, amen. Praise you, Jesus. I'll keep walking forward. The other way, oh Lord, please bless my plan. Help me to find that King David, even though I'm supposed to be chasing those Philistines. Yeah. Oh. But I believe that the best way to keep us from being Sauls and keep us being David is to keep our hearts soft and to continually be checking and saying, God, today am I being a Saul or am I being a David? God, am I moving out of fear or am I moving out of faith? God, what is your plan for today? What would you have me do in this situation? And even if his plan doesn't match our plan, if you walk forward in it, you will have peace. Even if everybody seems to be against you, even the king, it's okay. Because God in one is a majority. I've discovered that over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because what you'll be doing is you'll actually be walking out God's plans for your life. And God uses even the bad things to cause you to be blessed. Like King David in the desert. And through those times, that's when you'll get those crazy good testimonies. That not only cause you to overcome, but everybody else around you. Because you will be a living testimony to the goodness of God within bad situations, and you'll be encouraging people to come up. And your life will be a life of worship and a life of praise. Because that's what happens every time you hear God's plan and you say, yes, amen, and you walk forward. Then that's another step into worship and praise. And that's how we walk forward in what they call the David anointing, the tabernacle of David anointing. And in that place, there is no levels that you can get to. Because it doesn't matter where you're at, whether you're in the desert or in the kingdom or in between. God is there, right there with you. And his manifest presence is actually guiding you through the dark places into the place where there's green pastures and still waters. Ha. Ha. So we don't want to be religious, but we want to be saved. We don't want to be a Saul, but we want to be a David. So we're just going to take a minute. Worship team can come up. We're just going to ask God if there's any place in our life where we've been asking God to bless our plans. This one for 2 months. It's all about the Holy Spirit and prayer and a secret place and being filled. revival stuff. I want to preach about hunger, thirsting, and going for God. But I really believe that if you want to get to that place, we have to get through this stuff. We have to get to the place where we bless God's plans, no matter what they are, even if they're in the desert place. If you feel that you've been frustrated with the plan of God for your life, now is a really good time just to either come up to the front or raise your hand or pray to yourself and say, God, I thank you for your plan for my life, even though I don't understand it. It's that time to say, God, I bless your plans for me, and I say, yes, amen. Even though it seems like I might be in the desert place. And Lord, even though I'm not happy with this current step that you have me in, I'm willing to ask you for the next step, because I believe that it's leading me to the promised land, and I'm not going to turn around, and I'm not going to go the other way, and I'm not going to run from your presence. I'm going to keep moving forward because I know that you're a good shepherd. Good shepherd. Best shepherd. The only shepherd for me. I ask you, Lord, just to soften my heart. Just to fill me with the joy comes from knowing that you're good, even in a rough place. Because you are my God. I'm just going to stop coveting what the other person has in God and start thanking you for what you've done, who you are. And know that you know the best way to Jerusalem. Even though it might be through the sea or through the desert or around the mountain, I know that those are the places where you're about to show me your glory, God. Get to the promised land. Amen. Yeah.